Vignette number 31 from Vignette number 31 from Zen is Right Here, Teaching Stories and Anecdotes of Shunryu Suzuki. One day during a tea break, a student standing next to Suzuki Roshi asked, "So, what do you think about all of us crazy Zen students?" Roshi said, "I think you're all enlightened until you open your mouth." That was me at Tassajara around 1970. Yeah, every afternoon there would be a tea break around 3 or something, and a bell would ring, and people would come from work, and sometimes there'd be a little cookie or something, and there'd be some tea, or there'd be, especially when it got hot in the summer, there might be a fruit drink, like in a big tureen of it, with ladles. And that was a favorite time in the day. That might have been the most social time in the day at Tassajara. And, you know, Suzuki would come join us, and usually, I don't know, you know, a lot happened in those times. And we'd be in the courtyard between the dining room and the kitchen under the grape arbor. And, you know, depending on the time of year, if it was, like, really cold, I think of those as being during guest season. No, they were during practice periods, too. So if it was colder, it might be in front of the office or... I don't remember it up on the road, but I remember work meetings when the only sun, and you get down in December, there, I mean, Tassajara is in a pretty steep, narrow valley there. There are times in the shortest days of the year where there just wouldn't be any sun. But there'd be some in the morning, like up on the road in front of the office there, you know, where the road comes in, and then the road, it comes in and tees with Tassajara Village Road. I don't know what to call that. There'd be sun up there. We'd have our work meetings there. And then in the afternoon, there might be sun, depending on when, you know, in some of these colder times. And up where the shop is, we'd have meetings up there. And but anyway, I think you're all enlightened until you open your mouth. Yeah. I asked him a question once, you know, about Zen. And, you know, after a while, he said, "Let's have some tea." And he said, You know, we're supposed to just be working. I shouldn't have been asking him anything, right? You know, you work silently. We were pretty bad about that sometimes. But he said, you know, I'd rather not talk about Zen so much. I'd rather actually not even give lectures. Just sit and work, that sort of thing. I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was very nice, and I really appreciated it, and I appreciate it now. I drive him, I learned eventually not to talk. you just go to sleep. And but every once in a while we'd talk about something. And then on the other side, you know, we have silent meals. And I really like silent meals. And I believe in silent meals, or mainly silent meals. Not having a meal and start jabbering, you don't even notice the food then. And he would say, you know, you can't do both at the same time, eat and talk. You're going to do one or the other. So, you know, some types of Catholic monks would read while they were eating to distract them from having pleasure in the food. But our tradition isn't like that. But so, you know, in the Zendo, it's easy to be silent while you're eating. You don't talk in the Zendo. Have pleasant conversation. But sometimes we'd be in a less formal situation, you know, eating lunch outside, not during a practice period. And so many of us would be sitting up straight and seriously. And Suzuki'd be a lot looser. And then he'd ask somebody something, right? Because we were all just, you know, clinging fiercely to the don't talk thing. And so he'd bring it up. Richard Baker would do that too. And if we had a group meeting and students started really expressing themselves, I could tell Suzuki didn't like too much of that. After a while, he'd go, well, this is already too much talk. He didn't like parties either. Like, you know, you'd have a party at Tassara like 3 times a year or something. I don't know. You're supposed to have a party when the Han breaks, is what we'd hear, like they do in monasteries. You know, on New Year's Eve, we'd have some sort of party and there'd be a little sake. Got it. So Genji in Japan on New Year's Eve, you could have all the sake you wanted. And that was a very strict temple where there wasn't alcohol any other time that I can remember. And the abbot didn't drink. If he got it alcohol, he'd give it to me. I was living next door. But every once in a while, we'd have a party, like end of practice period party or July 4th or something there or in the city. And he'd go and, sort of pretend to have a nice time for a little while. I could see he'd be like a little bit disappointed. Or he'd just leave after a while. There was an early New Year's Eve party he was at Tassahara, where there was sake and dancing, and he put a lampshade on his head. Every once in a while, he'd climb up. And in the city, he could really relax. Like if there was a picnic at Golden Gate Park, he'd be more relaxed that way. Steve Gaskin told about him at Golden Gate Park coming to a Zen Center picnic, and there being a blanket. Somebody had a baby and there was a blanket on the ground for it. And Gaskin said that Suzuki just lay down on the blanket and rolled up and pretended to be a little kid. So, you know, he had those two sides. He could be playful a lot. You know, he just didn't like it to get out of hand. And his out of hand was way before our out of hand would be. That's interesting, though. I think you're all enlightened till you open your mouths. I lived with a woman a long time, and I said, oh, God, I'm talking too much. I'm sorry. She said, that's all right. My prior husband never said anything. We'd drive to the city, you know, to go to a movie and come back, and he'd not say one word the entire time. And I really appreciate your talking. So, you know, there's two sides to it, like everything. Although her criteria certainly was different than Suzuki's. And the idea here isn't not to talk. You know, in Buddhism, right speech is part of the Eightfold Path. So it's just, you know, what you say. And Buddha had some very definite things to say. Here, I'm gonna give you a couple of lists. So from the Pali Canon, and what is right speech? Abstaining from lying, from divisive speech, from abusive speech, and from idle chatter. That is called right speech. But of course, we do talk, and Buddha had five things to consider before speaking. And one, is it factual or true? Two, is it helpful or beneficial? Three, is it spoken with kindness and goodwill? Four, is it endearing? And it says here, that is, spoken gently in a way that the other person can hear. Five, is it timely? And Dogen said, you know, if you're in a discussion and you disagree with somebody, feel free to speak your mind. He had some other advice, but I forget what that was. But, you know, if we're being thoughtful and considerate and not just speaking to hear the sound of our own voice, which I think for a lot of us is a great deal of why we talk and why we make noise, just to know we exist, to fortify our sense of identity. Anyway, of course, there's right speech and there's a positive way to talk. So when he said, I think you're all enlightened till you open your mouth, he didn't mean that when people open their mouths, they're unenlightened. He meant we were revealing some delusion in what we said and how we said it. Keeping quiet, of course, is the safest thing, but that doesn't stop us from being deluded, of course. Okay, I found Dogen. Gotta love the internet. Students, when you want to say something, think about it three times before you say it. Speak only if your words will benefit yourselves and others. Do not speak if it brings no benefit. So that all sounds good. Hard to follow, though. This has been a Cuke Audio mini podcast. I'm DC Poobah of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Dogat Bandita and Feline Kuchita, and soon hopefully with dear lovely Katrinka. Wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.